The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We begin each hour with our impact segment, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Over the weekend, there was a little get-together at the Conservative Political Action Conference known as CPAC, and one of the featured speakers is a civilian. You may recognize the name Donald Trump. And so he shared some of his thoughts and his words that we want to also expound a bit upon. And if you're compelled to, you're welcome to call the program, 888-528-2557. And for those of you listening, I'd say a number of you sent me various clips, edited bits and pieces from CPAC saying, well, check this out. And so Donald Trump was on record now as saying a number of things. I want to highlight a few. I won't say the best for last, but one of his most pointed accusations I think we want to spend a moment with. But as I watched almost the majority of his speech, he shared like a number of bullet points that he emphasized, right? First speech since leaving the White House 6 weeks ago. Hard to believe 6 weeks have gone by. Some of what he made mention of that I want to take a moment with, he said he's not going to create a third party. There have been a lot of rumors. Somehow he may buck the Democrats and the Republicans and form a third party. Not going to happen according to what he shared over the weekend. He said he is going to work hard to elect Republican leaders, so he's staying with the Republican Party. No real surprise there. He also said he wants to help take back the Congress and the White House. Kind of a hint. Is he really thinking about running again in 2024? Well, that's a lifetime away, so I'm not even going to go there. But two of the areas that he spoke of that I want to spend a moment with, number one, election integrity. According to Trump, Democrats across the nation used the coronavirus to transform the vote by mail system, something he said was illegal because state legislatures failed to approve the changes. In order to make elections that are, quote, honest, fair, and accurate, Trump called for one election day, which would effectively eliminate early voting. He said, quote, we must pass comprehensive election reforms and do it now, end quote. We've talked a bit on the program about election integrity. I bring it up mostly to emphasize what he said over the weekend and also to reiterate my point. To even suggest there may have been something that went down that wasn't copacetic, wasn't, you know, anything other than maybe manipulation or the lack thereof. The media just has a field day with anybody that would suggest something maybe was awry, or that maybe we need to stand for free and fair elections, and if there was any shenanigans, we should have looked into it. Well, the Supreme Court has thrown everything out, so is that enough for you? If you listen to Clarence Thomas, one of the three dissenters, he also is in the mindset, look, you've got 70-plus million people that voted for former President Trump, and if you don't ease their conscience and look into this stuff, you're setting a dangerous precedent here. That's kind of where my mind is. Why not look into some of this? Sidney Powell is on record again. I just have a love, kind of hate relationship with Sidney Powell. Here's a woman that's on record as saying, I've got the goods, and yet we never hear anything about the real goods, right? And I believe that between the left and the media and the tech monopoly, they're shutting all this stuff down. So if she has any evidence, similar to Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, now being sued by Dominion, $1.3 billion. I don't know Mike personally. A good friend of mine does know him. And I would think Mike Lindell is rubbing his hands together now. Like, okay, now I get discovery. He could probably afford a pretty fair lawyer team, law firm. And so we'll see how this all plays out. But Donald Trump over the weekend questioned election integrity again. And he also talked about big tech censorship. He called on Congress to repeal Section 230 protections. And part of me wants to say, I don't know why they haven't done that as of now, but there's another part of me that understands, right? Section 230, any clue, any idea? Quote, the time has come to break up big tech monopolies and restore fair competition. If the federal government refuses to act, then every state in the union where we have the voices, which is a lot of them, big tech giants like Google, Twitter, and Facebook should be punished with major sanctions whenever they silence conservative voices, end quote, former President Trump. 888-528-2557. I noticed some of you were calling, and if you were not patient to pick up the phone, we hope and pray that you will be patient and call back, and we'll see about maybe getting you on the air. Former President Trump also, according to Ryan Saavedra, repeatedly tore into President Joe Biden over a variety of issues. Now, one area that I hear virtually no discussion about is immigration. And Saavedra says this, crisis on the southern border is one to the millions of American children who are not in school learning. President Trump said this, quote, Joe Biden has had the most disastrous first month of any president in modern history. Already the Biden administration has proven that they are anti-jobs, anti-family, anti-borders, anti-energy, anti-women, and anti-science. In just one short month, we've gone from America first to America last, end quote, former President Trump. By the way, if you don't agree with this, you can also call. We have no problem with disagreement on this radio program. In fact, I think that's part of the problem. We have virtually no discussion of two different ideologies. Try to have a conversation. So wherever you stand on this, if you have an opinion, if you have a view, if you would like to have a discussion, goodness, if you even want to have a debate, okay, as long as it's respectful. 888-528-2557. One last item that former President Trump shared over the weekend at CPAC. He slammed the Biden administration for their, quote, callous indifference toward working families by not prioritizing getting America's children back in school for in-person instruction. The direct quote, the Biden administration is actually bragging about the classroom education they're providing to migrant children on the border, while at the same time, millions of American children are having their futures destroyed by Joe Biden's anti-science school closures, end quote. Do you have any thoughts on this? Do you have any children at home? You've gone through, let's see, it would be a week from Saturday, 1 year to the date when we first started hearing about the virus. In fact, we've got a very interesting commentary called Move On. We'll share in a little bit. But any thoughts on the first 40 or so days? Maybe you support the current administration. Maybe you have thoughts, only for the impact segment. So if you're going to call, best to call now. 888-528-2557. If you have any thoughts, maybe you saw the former president over the weekend. Here are a couple of other quotes he shared about our children. Quote, think of it. We're educating students on the border, but our own people, children of our own citizens, citizens themselves are not getting the education that they deserve. There's no reason whatsoever why the vast majority of young Americans should not be back in school immediately, said Trump. The only reason that most parents do not have the choice is because Joe Biden sold out America's children to the teachers' unions. Ouch. His position is morally inexcusable. End quote. Former President Trump over the weekend. Boy, you know, there was some speculation that maybe he was going to somehow go off into the sunset or do different things. From this weekend, doesn't seem like that's the case anytime soon. My goodness. 888-528-2557. We do have one open line. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem also spoke at CPAC over the weekend. She had some choice words. She says that the lockdowns and other restrictions were to blame for the economic crash of 2020, not the pandemic. Do you know Governor Kristi Noem at all? Have you followed her? She's very interesting. She's among few governors, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who have basically said, look, nationally and across the globe, the idea of lockdowns, we're not going to do that. DeSantis said no in Florida. Noem said no in South Dakota. So she spoke over the weekend, and she also said that Anthony Fauci told her personally, you know, that Anthony Fauci, the one that I say, why anybody listens to him anymore or even listen to him early on is beyond me. Yeah, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, that Anthony Fauci. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, said that he personally told her early on that by denying what she was being told she had to do, lockdowns, he told her that South Dakota's hospitals would be treating 10,000 patients at the worst point of the pandemic. What was the actual number? Noem said at its worst point, South Dakota had about 600 people in the hospital. Not 10,000. 600. It reminds me early on, we heard that projection. 2.2 million people are going to die. Noem said at CPAC, quote, I don't know if you agree with me, but Dr. Fauci is wrong a lot, end quote. She drew raucous cheers from the crowd on that one. Noem went on to say, quote, even in a pandemic, public health policy needs to take into account people's economic and social well-being. People need to keep a roof over their heads. They need to feed their families, and they need their dignity. Noem said, in my administration, we resisted the call for the virus control at the expense of everything else. We looked at the science, we looked at the data, we looked at the facts, and then we took a balanced approach, end quote. Not quite what we did here in California, but I digress. Noem said that as a result, South Dakota now has the lowest unemployment rate in the nation, and their state's economy is booming. Despite sidestepping lockdown, South Dakota, you would think because they denied the medical elite and the political powers that be that said you need to lock down, South Dakota has fewer COVID-19 cases per million over the past 30 days than some of the largest lockdown states, like right here in California, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes me wonder what's really going on here. In a moment, a commentary called Move On, about COVID. But let's take some calls. Nick is in Pasadena. Nick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Oh, so I'm a little nervous, so I might stutter, but I'm excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad you called, Nick. No need to be nervous.
Well, I was just I just wanted to comment that I'm a young college student. I've just started my exploration into like ideas. I'm finding myself to be a little more conservative on things and just exploring information on my own. But so I just want to comment on that, and I feel like sometimes it feels like suppressed on what I can like explore and dissent about. But I really wanted to say how I wanted to comment on what you were saying is how it seems like the unity a lot of the leading Democrats are talking about isn't really unity, but kind of like calling for obedience. And I wanted to know what maybe you thought or.
Sure. First of all, let me tell you, I'm grateful you called, Nick. I hope you call again. It's a risk in and of itself. And the hardest thing to do is to take that first step, pick up the phone, and call in. You did great. I hope you call again. Now, to respond to your direct, the idea of the left and they want obedience. They do. They want, it's almost like conformity. If you don't agree, you need to conform to us or else. So you and I would ideologically agree on that one as well. Also, if you do call again, I'd love to spend time with you and find out further about what you're taking in college and why you're choosing that route. But for now, Nick, again, thank you for calling. Pat is in Whittier. Pat, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. God bless you. I listen to you daily. You are a light in a dark tunnel, someone who speaks up and stands their ground. I pray for Trump every day. I was so glad to see him at the CPAC. My husband and I listened, agreed with everything. America's going down the drain. I love your show. Please tell us, beyond getting upset and frustrated, what we can legally do. Give some addresses. Write this senator. Write. I get upset, and you feel kind of helpless.
Well, yeah, but look, I'll just say this. Pat, thank you, first of all, for the kind comments. I see none of that on the screen. All it says, are we safe if we don't agree with Biden? So thank you for the kind comments. In terms of being frustrated or upset, I don't want to assume that you are a follower of Christ, although I'd be willing to suspect you are. Frustration, anger, momentary. Because we're human, we're fallible, we're flawed. So we can feel some of that, but boom, that's gone. We're not here to be frustrated. We're not here to be afraid. We're here to lock eyes on the Lord and read the Bible and know He is, first of all, yes, in charge. But Pat, God bless you. As you say, that doesn't mean we just mail it in. That doesn't mean we're indifferent. We're to be active politically. We're to understand and be informed. I love what you said. Hey, Frank, give us some websites. Give us some information. And I do a little bit, and I'll pray about that, because my motto, in a sense, is I share information, and then I think it should be upon the listener to follow up on your own and inform yourself and do the work. Maybe my model is not a proper one, but I oftentimes think of how pastors, we look to our pastors like, lead us, pastor, and the pastor will lead, but then it creates kind of a, I don't like psych 101 models, but kind of like a codependence, like we can't do it on our own. And I'm all for, no, you need to do it on your own. We, the body of Christ, we need to be politically literate and inform ourselves. And that being said, Pat, I'll take what you said to heart and I'll pray about it. Maybe I'll give once a program or every couple times a week, I'll give out specific websites. ChristianHeadlines.com, to me, is the most phenomenal faith-based website by which you'll get information and also commentaries. So there, I'll check that box off today. ChristianHeadlines.com. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. Let me share the commentary a little bit by Washington Examiner contributor named Carol Markowitz. It's called COVID, Move On. Let me share a little bit of what Carol has to say about the topic of the coronavirus. Let's just say she doesn't fall into the mainstream media narrative. Carol Markowitz is depicting the harm caused by unscientific and arbitrary COVID-19 restrictions, parentheses, especially as it relates to school closures, end parentheses. She's now raising alarms about the fact that even with a highly safe and effective vaccine being deployed, there is reluctance to acknowledge that things should return to normal quickly. Even as Dr. Fauci, let me take a breath. I will not go down that road of temptation to fire off on him. Even as Dr. Fauci warns that vaccine hesitancy is going to be the major barrier to achieving herd immunity, he's out there saying things that reduce the incentive for people to get vaccinated. Again, this is a commentary by Carol Markowitz from, I think she writes regularly at the Washington Examiner. Quote, this is Dr. Fauci, and I say Dr. lightly. There are things, even if you're vaccinated, that you're not going to be able to do in society. For example, indoor dining, theaters, places where people congregate. That's because of the safety of society, end quote. Before I read on from Markowitz's commentary, I'm like, so you're vaccinated? Talk about moving the goalposts. I'll just take the easy way out. Why anybody listens to this guy is beyond me. Markowitz says the media has gotten the message, published a steady stream of articles downplaying the vaccine by suggesting that it should make no difference to human behavior. NBC reported recently, quote, you're fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. Now what? Don't expect to shed your mask and get back to normal activities right away. End quote. As some stubbornly refuse to accept that an end is within sight, Markowitz writes, it's worth remembering how far the goalposts have shifted. In the early days of the pandemic, we were in an untenable position. It was too late for foreign travel restrictions to make much of a difference. We didn't have the capacity to implement a sophisticated testing and tracing regime. Masks were in short supply. Also, there was very little understanding of how the coronavirus spread and the best way to treat it. As problematic early on as the approach was, the idea of maintaining restrictions with hundreds of millions of vaccine doses these days becoming available in the coming months is much more troubling. It's worth recalling that the very early on in the pandemic, the Imperial College of London released a highly influential and controversial report. It said that if nothing were done in response to COVID-19, I just said this before, the baseline was that 2.2 million Americans could die of COVID-19. The only way to reduce that number, the study argued, was through sustained lockdowns. However, the study said that such policies, quote, will need to be maintained until a vaccine becomes available, end quote. In other words, we're now entering, Markowitz says, a precarious phase in which public health officials and the media are sending signals that we have to go beyond what was once considered the most draconian approach possible. In other words, early on, the absolute worst case scenario. Now, we're getting mixed messages again, even in regards to the lockdowns. Markowitz writes, even as Fauci himself has acknowledged at times, he is not the end all. You think? That is, it is his job to give advice about public health. He's focused on getting infections down to as close to zero as possible. We can debate how effective he has been in that role, zero, and how good his advice has proven, zero. But regardless, Fauci's role is to be myopically focused on COVID-19. Actual policymakers and individuals have to take into account his advice and balance it against other personal and societal priorities. People need to recognize the difference between low probability events and zero probability events, and also stop thinking myopically about COVID-19 to the exclusion of everything else that's important. Thank you, Carol Markowitz. She writes, lockdowns have destroyed businesses, exacerbated mental health issues, increased suicides, led people to defer preventative health care, deprived children of education and socialization, and placed a back-breaking burden on working parents. Arguing that such policies are necessary in the short term to prevent millions of deaths is one thing. Arguing that such policies are necessary in the long term to prevent the low probability that somebody vaccinated can infect somebody else who has a 99% chance of survival, even if infected and unvaccinated, is quite another. Very last sentence says it all. Let us accept victory over COVID-19 and move on. Carol Markowitz regularly contributes to the Washington Examiner. Do you have any thoughts at all? 888-528-2557. We'll take more of your phone calls as we continue. We began talking about President Trump speaking at CPAC. He made mention of the elections. We've got a caller on hold that wants to talk about that. If you want to make mention of COVID, the latest, we've actually got some audio clips we'll share on the other side as well. We welcome your calls. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. More of this, The Frank Sontag Show, next. Thank you for joining us on this, The Frank Sontag Show. If you missed our impact segment, we covered a little bit of ground in the area of CPAC over the weekend. Former President Trump spoke. Some specific topics he covered at great length, part of which elections, also immigration, and what about our children suffering, not being able to go to school. And then I made a comment, I read a commentary by Carol Markowitz, who writes for the Washington Examiner, kind of a scathing one on the lockdowns and how this is something that we've not really considered all of the, there's an area called deaths of despair, where when we think about the impact that lockdowns have had, we oftentimes just think in, or the media pumps the narrative that somehow we're just talking about these numbers of deaths, right? But we don't think about things like mental health or the impact it has on our children or economic devastation, all of that. And so I read a commentary from Carol Markowitz from the Washington Examiner that shared some of her thoughts on that. Let's take some calls. Ed in Montebello. Ed, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. So I saw CPAC on Saturday and Sunday. What I saw deeply was disturbing because, in my view, it was a denial of reality. I saw the ninth panels about how the election was stolen and their solution to prevent the 2024 election from being stolen. Some of the claims that I saw made at Saturday's impact was about Obamacare, false claims about Obamacare, the Equality Act. And on Sunday, Trump made a powerful speech. I really enjoyed his speech. Instead of focusing on why he lost the election, he focused on, again, rhetoric. He attacked the Biden administration. It was a typical Trump speech. 10%, 100%, and he's really good at giving speeches. But again,
do you realize you're in the minority when you say he's really good at giving speeches? Even though you're critical of what he said, the majority of the left say he can't give a speech. It's all rhetoric. And you're saying he's good at giving speeches. That's an interesting take that I don't often hear. So
here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Let me explain.
Please.
I watched Donald Trump's speeches since 2016. And he's, again, I'm going by what I watch. And again, he's very good at making speeches. He uses.
You've said that twice now.
He has a history of again, he does his homework. He knows what his listeners want to hear, and he focuses on those issues that he knows his listeners want to hear.
Okay, that's your subjective interpretation, your take that he gives good speeches. Again, that's kind of rare that I hear that. What about this weekend? Can we have a conversation about? On the screen, it says there was no election fraud. So you don't believe there was any possibility of any tampering whatsoever?
The tamperings are made by, claims.
Claims. 1,700 affidavits of eyewitnesses to voter fraud or just claims?
Okay, eyewitnesses again.
No, affidavits. Affidavits. People, 1,700 people signed a sworn statement that they saw things that weren't really on the up and up. 1,700 people.
Okay. And, great. Okay, that's great. Okay, you're making that's a great point.
Okay, there's other points too. We're going to move on. Thank you, Ed. Again, the idea there's no election fraud. I'm not saying there was, but the truth is there's been no investigation. That is true. 1,700 affidavits. I mean, I go down the line. I've got it all here. I don't need to do that. I don't have a need to be right here. Whenever somebody goes against the party line about election fraud, what are you? Are you nuts? Oh, you're a Trumper. And we're going to just, the Supreme Court didn't take any cases. Oh, there's a lot more to it than just saying there was no voter fraud, and to even suggest that the media narrative that there was no evidence is a bald-faced lie. There is lots of evidence. Now, was any of the evidence heard? Not really. That's a different conversation. 888-528-2557. Let's look at the screen here. David in Whittier. David, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, what an honor. Last caller was all over the place. Sorry. What I have to say about you quoting, I don't know her name, against opposite of Dr. Fauci.
Carol Markowitz. Carol Markowitz writes at times with the Washington Examiner. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nobody knows how this works. I mean, so you can't start quoting people, say they're right, say they're wrong, just because, it fits your narrative. It's wrong. And if they're, like you said, about the allegations of, on the last call, the allegations of voter fraud, is it checked? You don't know. You're wrong. Have a good day.
I'm not really sure I was tracking there. But we'll move on. Time is of the essence. It's important. Speaking of some of the medical elites, let's talk about masks for a moment. It was in the elevator last week, and I had, because this building, they say you must wear a mask. I wear a mask. A woman actually got on the elevator next to me. We had a brief conversation. She had an accent, and she said, "You're a rebel." And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "People on my floor are now wearing 3 masks." I was in a store last night purchasing a few staples for the house. And the couple in front of me, they had on a double mask and a shield over their face as well. Now, look, I'm not here to say how other people need to live their lives. If that's what they think they need to do, I support them 1,000,000%. But what about those of us that want to take responsibility for our lives? And should we not be able to live our lives the way we see fit? That's not the narrative. I mean, we've never in the history of civilization ever had quarantines and lockdowns for healthy people. I'm not a fan of Anthony Fauci. I don't know why we listen to this man. And I'm being kind here. You can send me your emails of contempt because somehow I speak ill of this godlike man who we're just supposed to, whatever he says, whatever whims of culture he goes with, because he's all over the place. But I'd like to go to a real expert, a man named Alex Berenson. If you don't know much about him, You may want to do a little homework. This man knows what he was talking about. He was recently on Tucker Carlson. Tucker even does a one-minute expose on the whole three-mask thing. Listen to this.
Well, no public health official has done more to undermine faith in the coronavirus vaccine than Tony Fauci has. Instead of telling Americans that life can go back to normal once they're vaccinated, which was the whole point, Fauci is saying the opposite. Earlier this month, Fauci suggested you might want to wear two or three face masks even after you've gotten the shot.
You wear a mask, then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
That's lunatic. An actual scientist had pointed this out. One physician at Rutgers Medical School, David Sinimo, was asked about triple masking, and here was his response, quote, "That's so crazy, I don't even know how to address it," end quote. Alex Berenson is the author of Unreported Truths About COVID-19, Part 3, Masks. He joins us tonight. Alex Berenson, thanks so much for coming on. Very simple question, which I don't think Google will allow you to ask, but we will. Is it healthy to wear three masks on your face?
We don't really need to argue about whether three masks might be dangerous. There's no evidence that three masks do any good. There's very, very little evidence that two masks or one mask do any good. There's one good clinical trial about masks and the coronavirus. It came out in November. It's been very conveniently memory-holed by the media since then. And what it showed was very clear. Masks do not protect the wearer from the coronavirus. Okay, so in the face of that, both before and after that, the CDC and various other places have come up with a bunch of theories about how masks, are source control, and my mask protects you, even if it doesn't protect me, although maybe it does protect me, although it doesn't really, because there's no evidence that it actually does. And here's what when you try to graph mask mandates on a sort of national or regional or local level against changes in the coronavirus over time, against changes in infection rates, you find absolutely no comparison, no way to track that there's any relationship. Okay, so if you look at California versus Florida, that's one that people like to show because California, heavy mask mandates, lockdowns, lots of rules. Florida went exactly the opposite way. The virus essentially behaved exactly the same in both places. Okay, so because in the face of all this evidence, what the CDC has done is ridiculous. What they've said is, oh, well, it may not be one mask. Maybe we need two masks or maybe three masks. And the pivotal CDC study on this, which came out a few weeks ago, was done on mannequins. So if you're a mannequin, maybe two masks will help you. But if you're a human being, there's basically no evidence that this does any good.
Man's name is Alex Berenson. You can decide for yourself. I'm just here to provide information that you may not hear in the public narrative. 888-528-2557. Phone lines are open. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In a moment, we have an update on Pastor Vody Bauckham, who was suffering from heart failure. Let me get to that update in a moment. But I want to take Yvonne. She asks a question I think is one we need to have a moment on the air to exchange our ideas. Yvonne in Glendale, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. Wondering what was your thought in regards on the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm hearing different things. It's going to kill off more people. It's the mark of the beast. And I was just wondering what your thought was on that. I have two parents that are elderly that are extremely high risk for COVID.
Do you have any thoughts other than what you've heard? Have you looked into any other types of information? Have you taken the vaccine, or if you have an opportunity, if you haven't yet, will you? I'm interested in your thoughts before I share mine.
No, I haven't got the vaccine myself. I've been okay. I haven't, thank God, by God's grace, I haven't had it. Don't want to get it, but, I was just, concerned because, I had, Me, myself, I don't take flu vaccines or any, give my kids the vaccine or anything like that. You know, we just boost up on our vitamins and we're good to go. I've never even experienced having a flu, flu. So my concern was because of COVID, how they think it's extremely, you know, contagious and it's worse than the flu and it's deadly. It's so many things you hear, you know, it just gets me really confused. Me, myself, I never, like I said, I never even had the flu, maybe common cold here and there. My kids either don't really get the flu. So, you know, to me with the vaccine, I was like, yeah, you know, I was kind of, because all this fear module that's going on, you know, I was kind of like, oh, maybe we should. And then again, I was like, oh, no, you know, I was just hearing, you just start hearing different things, you know.
Well, let me respond. And I think it's a, I'm glad that you asked the question. So thank you for calling. And let me give some of my thoughts. First of all, if someone wants to take the vaccine, I have no qualms about that whatsoever. And obviously, there are two, and now we hear a third different vaccine from different companies will soon be available. We have Pfizer, Moderna, and then there's another one coming. I myself, I'm in no hurry. This is a virus, if you look at the statistics, that, and depending on what age group, I mean, this is not a pandemic by which we've seen in the past with the Hong Kong flu of the late 60s, worldwide 3 to 5 million people died. You had the Spanish flu of 1918. Aside from all the fear mongering to this point, this is not a pandemic to that degree. Now, we live in a time where, well, don't be so insensitive. 500,000 people have died. Well, that's the number they throw out. I'm suspicious of that number, too. But this is a virus, and influenza kills people. So this is a virus that is deadly to a certain, stereotypically, an age group. So if one wants to take a vaccine, go for it. I'm in no hurry. I would really like to see through time. These vaccines... And I will give the Trump administration all the kudos it deserves. Unlike the Biden administration, Joe Biden said a couple of weeks ago, we didn't even have the vaccine when I took over. This man is senile. And I don't hold him necessarily in a position of accountability. There are a bunch of people behind the scenes that are pulling his puppet strings. But President Trump pushed this through. And I think that is a wonderful attribute. And also, there's some detriment there. We rushed it through. We don't know. Usually, vaccines take 3 to 5 years. This was pushed through in less than a year. So I'd like to see, as we move forward, that there's been some noise about mandatory vaccinations. I'm, like, against that. I'm still all for personal freedoms. Country kind of was founded in those ways now, even though we've given up some of ours. And the other thing, when you've got people like Anthony Fauci, again, why we listen to this man at all is beyond me. We heard about the vaccine. Now he's talking about, well, if you take the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask and you have to be careful about where you go. Well, what's the point of the vaccine? So as early on as this is, I'm not interested in taking it now. Number two, I would like to track and see the studies as we move forward. Number three, I'm not in the mindset of, and I'm not beyond the possibility of the evils governments can do. Some of you have sent me information, videos, oh, this is going to do this and really bad. I'm not denying that possibility, but I am in the mindset of, I think vaccines can be helpful. But these are a little too soon for my own comfort level. So I'm not interested. I take zinc and vitamin D. I take care of myself. I have some things that I can take. God forbid any of us contract this virus. But I know scores of people that have gotten this, and ivermectin is something you're hearing more and more about. A lot of the medical establishment has really shut down the ideas of therapeutics. And you've got doctors in Texas that are using certain protocols. Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, I hold close and high regard, all the work he's done with hydroxychloroquine, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm in no hurry to take any vaccine. This is the Frank Sontag Show.